swear not to rate stuff out of 10.
11.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Top marks. And he said, it's a year since the roof was blown off. It's a year since I was sent home from hospital. So that's an interesting anniversary to look at. And just as the roof is still intact, I think I'm just about still intact as well. So, nice to see you all. Happy Christmas. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. There's a real sense in me of that God wanted to say something. I do know, I can put my, I'm not just saying it's something, but I don't know what it is. But the challenge of sensing that and putting it into words and putting it down on paper is a real one. And sort of on my third go at this this morning. But as we've worshipped and prayed and heard what's been said and what's been shared, so much of it resonates with what I feel God is wanting to say. And so just trusting him this morning that he will communicate his word through my efforts. And so we're going to look at a video. I think, have you got a video there for me, Michelle? This is from a ministry called Proximity that's to do with the Eden teams. And it's about people that are involved in mission in all sorts of urban settings, just as we have our Eden team here. And they've produced a whole load of resources, and particularly some resources for Christmas. And this video I found really interesting and inspiring. And so I just want us to look at that as a prelude to what I want to say this morning.
And now the angel is nowhere to be seen. And she wakes from a dream with her head down the loo and necks down something for the acid. The youngest at antenatal classes, feeling like a stretched smart lump trying to hide a bump in oversized clothes, waddling down the street with swollen feet, scared witless, wondering whether she's got what it takes to be a mother. Now she knocks on the door of another knocked up, someone else who feels each kick and every elbow flick and wakes up sick, a cousin with stretched hips who's both blessed and broken. And immediately, almost as if obediently, Elizabeth feels heaven and earth kicked and flipped inside her as her heavy belly moans with sympathy. An angelic symphony bursts from her amniotic sac. And Mary answers back, "My soul magnifies the magnificent. It glorifies the glorious to the God who kicks the wall of the uterus, who is worshipped from the womb, to the God of bedsit rooms, of tower blocks, of basketball and hoop shots, of parked up 4x4s and shut up shops, to the God of tear-stained cheeks and grazed knees, of caffeinated drinks and quarter pounders with cheese. Praise be to the Father of cold and rainy nights, of overcrowded buses, of flickering street lights, in the name of bright white Nikes and leggings, hoodies, caps and knackered looking jeggings, in the name of not living but surviving, in the name of ducking and diving, in the name of poverty. God comes to me, wrapped in hand-me-down clothes, dirty nappies and blankets, as the creator of the universe, the maker of all planets, is pushed in a buggy and laid in a basket. For he is with us, not against us, one of us, not opposed to us. And he has not forgotten the honest or the humble, the straight-talking, the mustn't grumble. His eye is on the single mum with no disposable income, drowning in debt and depression. The OAP try to make ends meet from a pension. Those falling through the cracks, they're the ones who've got his attention. Yes, in a world that don't make sense, he's the gold and frankincense, overturning tables, turning the world upside down, right side up, bringing heaven to earth with a seasonal burst of Christmas. And in case you missed this, he makes Christmas every day. No, not in the shops or on the telly or the jingle jangle of songs and sleighs and snow. No, in the stomachs of the hungry, in the arms of the lonely, in the hearts of the broken, Christ can be found knocking on doors, kicking on walls of a mother's womb, asking us to make room for a kingdom to be born in us and through us. Glory be to the infinite. Magnify the magnificent. Oh, my soul, bless the incarnate. Glorify the omnipotent. Praise be to the God who became flesh and blood. and moved into the neighborhood.
The gist of that, it's on the super wide version there, so you can't actually see what's on what's happening, but we'll share it later on. Yeah, well, we'll skirt over that. Yeah. So yeah, that's there's a whole lot of like visual stuff to that as well. But there's just a description, hopefully a description of the reality of Christmas and what the first Christmas really meant. The so-called magic of Christmas lifts us in a way out of the reality of midwinter and plants us firmly in this winter wonderland. Plays on our emotions, our memories, our aspirations, sort of gives us a sense of unreality, can give us a real mixed bag of emotions. Christmas can be really difficult, can't it? Maybe for people here, Christmas is a really difficult time, not a magical time. It's a time that really challenges all that that we go through and makes us think in perhaps not in the fairy tale way, but in a very difficult way. Can be a desperately difficult time. A lot of artistic license is used in telling and retelling the story of Christmas to make it magical and wonderful. And we can be left scratching our head when you actually go to the scripture itself and you read the story of Christmas. You think, how does this match up with what we hear, what we see on the screens, what we see in our Christmas cards or in the presentation that Christmas, the presentation of Christmas that's given to us? Desperately hard, real-life struggle of the Christmas story gets lost as it's retold to create the magic and wonder and a sense of unreality. And we need to try and get into the mind of Mary and Joseph. It was nothing other than a desperately difficult and challenging time for them, and yet God was in the middle of it all. And I think that's what's been coming through this morning in the worship and the prayers, that sense that God in the middle of the mess, God in the middle of the reality, God in the middle of real life, that's what Christmas is all about. And we need to see if it's possible to get away from the glitz and the glitter and the elves and the snowmen to get a handle on what this story is really telling us, because there is power in this story that we can lose. Tradition is wonderful, celebration is wonderful, atmosphere is wonderful, but if we lose the power of the story, then we lose everything. We lose the sense that, you know, if it doesn't actually touch our real life, touch our experience, we think, oh, well, if our experience is only just in evoking a sense of wonder and excitement and childhood memories, then really Christmas is losing something in our experience. And just as Genesis is the foundation for our understanding of our place in the world, we've been going through over these months, the Christmas story is the foundation for our understanding of the purpose of our lives and the nature of our mission. The Christmas story is about heaven's interaction with earth, the unfolding of the greatest story ever told. And so we can't afford to lose it under all the snow and the starlight and the presents. It should leave us built and encouraged and strengthened and empowered and ready for the year ahead, rather than just nursing a headache and a credit card bill. That's not a good deal. With the greatest story ever told, the greatest credit card bill ever seen, doesn't match up. And that's what I like about that video, if we could have seen it fully. It takes what's actually plain in the scripture, takes away all the layers of glitter that have been put on it over the years, and it roots it in the experience of real life. The first Christmas was rooted in the experience of a real couple. And it's so hard to get behind what they actually felt away from the magic of the Christmas cards. And many times religious tradition can separate important things from reality. Jesus has a way of connecting and including and uniting things with reality, of bringing us. That's why Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God out there, God somewhere to be found, but God with us, God coming close, God alongside, God in it with us. The creator of the universe, he said, the maker of all planets, is pushed in a buggy and laid in a basket. If they had buggies in those days. But you know what I mean? He's bringing it. into the real life of the everyday. There's nothing separate or aloof or unreachable about this God. He's presented himself in the humblest form and destroyed all natural preconceptions about the way God will introduce himself to us if he does. Which God could actually do that? Who could actually write this? Who could actually imagine this story except that it come from the heart of God himself? That he would become a baby and be born in humility, born in poverty, born against misunderstanding, born in shame, born against the background of a young couple that are thinking, what on earth is going on with our lives? And yet God in the middle of it all, God with us, Emmanuel. Christmas tells us that he doesn't wait to be invited. You know, one of the things that evangelists often have said over the years, I've heard it many times, is that God is a gentleman. He waits to be invited. He waits until we open up our hearts to him, and then he comes in. Well, Christmas tells us actually that's not quite true. He doesn't wait to be invited. He comes even when we don't want him. He comes even when we're dead in our sins. He comes even when we're lost in our transgressions. He comes when we're drowning in the confusion of our circumstances and the mess of our lives. He steps into our lives when we didn't even think of inviting him. We didn't even think we wanted him. We perhaps even thought he was responsible for the mess that we're in. And yet he comes in to introduce himself. On a normal night, born to a young woman whose life has been thrown into absolute chaos through her encounter with God. You're going to have a baby, Mary. Oh, good news. Let's have a celebration. From that moment, everything went wrong. And yet, when all the pieces fall into place, when she understands the magnitude of what has happened to her and who it is that she's carrying in her womb, what happens? Worship comes out of her heart. Her heart explodes with worship. She glorifies God. I heard Sam Ward from the Eden, from the Message Trust saying the other day that perhaps we might say, if we were in Mary's position, God, you've ruined my life. But she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. And that's the connection. That's what happens when, in the middle of our confusion, we meet God. There's not that separation, that you know, how do we work this out? How do we come to a point of worship? In actual fact, that is the moment when she suddenly, her eyes are open. She doesn't have answers to all the questions. She doesn't understand what's happening. She doesn't know what her future holds. She doesn't know what this means to give birth to this baby. She knows that there's a lot of trouble ahead. But at that moment, her heart says, my soul glorifies the Lord. And you see, worship doesn't happen when we've got everything together and we feel ready. Worship happens when we finally see God himself, even in the middle of our mess and our chaos and our fear and our insecurity and our shame and our upset and everything else. It's that moment of seeing God when all those other things fall away and say, well, my soul glorifies the Lord. And we stand in the middle of it all with all the debris around us. And we say, God, you are great. You have come into my life. You are God Emmanuel. You are with me in all of this. If you've ever been on the London Underground, whenever a train pulls into the station and the doors open, there's a recorded voice that says, mind the gap. Sound familiar? I grew up down there, so I know it all. It used to be easy to get to London. Now it's not so easy. Mind the gap. And it made me smile as I thought about this, because I realized that there's actually no warning for us when we come to God to say, mind the gap, because there's no gap anymore. There's no, God has come right close. And actually traditional religion relies on there being a gap, relies on there being a chasm, relies on there being something to do in order to cross that divide. And yet there is no gap anymore. Emmanuel, God with us, is not something for those who've got it all together. It is good news of great joy for all the people. Often reflected on that, when the angels come, the first thing they do, they don't say, right, let's sit down and talk about how we're going to access this blessing of God. They just say, good news of great joy for all the people, a Savior is born. For who? For all the people. Good news of great joy. And we look at the gap sometimes. We stare at what the gap that we imagine, but there isn't one. Mary had a lot of fear, no doubt. There must have been a lot of tears. There must have been a lot of anguish. There must have been a lot of uncertainty, as I've already said. And yet in that moment, she realized there was no gap between her and God. That there was no sense that she had to sort all this out. She had to understand it. She had to figure it out. She had to find the keys. She had to take some steps. She had to do a number of things in order that she could get herself to a position where she could open up her heart in worship. It was at that moment that her eyes were opened, she saw God, and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And God says, "Do not be afraid." He means there's nothing to be afraid about. You are free to trust me, free to worship, free to praise. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, no gap. God with us, Emmanuel. That's the beauty of Christmas. And we can disqualify ourselves from Christmas. I don't like Christmas. But, you know, life has been difficult. Life is a challenge. There's no magic for me in Christmas. But there is a wonder in God coming to us. Doesn't matter who we are, whether we've had a perfect life and a perfect understanding and a perfect experience of Christmas, or everything about it makes us want to run away and hide. Yet for each of us, there is an opportunity to meet with God, because he is God with us, Emmanuel. Sometimes when God comes close to us, our first thought can be about sin. Oh no, what about sin? What about my sin? What about my shame? If God knew all about me, then the invitation would be cancelled. But the wonderful thing about God coming without invitation is that it's because he already knows. He doesn't wait for the invitation because he knows we're not going to invite him. He knows that we don't actually qualify. We don't actually have any reason why we should believe that God would actually want our worship. But so he comes to us and he closes that gap. And basically he says, "I'm dealing with sin in order that you might be free to worship me." He has dealt with sin so that he can draw close. Good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior is born. That means that all of those things can be set aside in order that we might know God, in order that he might come close. We've never been able to solve the issue of sin. And so God does it at his own initiative. Comes close to us. And Mary responded as Jesus certainly came close to her, but as the Spirit of God came close to her, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." And so the fantasy Jesus, the Christmas Jesus, the life that is suitable for worship is beyond us. But if we open our eyes, we can see him today. And there might be people here, like I said, that are thinking, "Well, I can't. It's too far away. The gap is too big." Remember what I've said. There is no gap because Emmanuel has come to us. He comes to your life uninvited. He comes regardless of the situation. He comes regardless of the barriers, because he said, "Actually, all of those things, I've taken them in hand. I'm dealing with them in order that you might come close." And you think, "Well, I'm a million miles away from being able to worship like Mary." Imagine how Mary felt at that moment. And yet, as her eyes were opened, her heart magnified the Lord. So the wonderful thing as God draws close is that he allows us to take our eyes off ourselves and to fix them firmly on him. Matt Britton said in that video, "In the name of everything we are, everything that defines our lives, he knows it all. He knows everything about us. There's nothing to hide. There's no point even trying to hide, because he knows it all. He sees it all, and then he comes close." Shepherds didn't receive the angels after an all-night prayer meeting and a sacrificial offering. They were just sat doing what shepherds do, probably telling dodgy stories and lighting fires. And in the middle of it all, the angels come and say, "Good news. A Savior is born." Doesn't matter who you are or what your story is, God comes to you today. God comes to you at Christmas, and he stays with us. He doesn't just visit for Christmas. Christmas can be a problem, can't it, with visitors? Lots of people coming. A few murmurs. But God comes to stay, comes to dwell, comes to live amongst us. You might have spent years trying to worship but being dragged down by that nagging sense of unrighteousness. We've been following the story of Abraham, haven't we, in Genesis, and the covenant promises God made to him and how God credited his faith to him as righteousness. And those promises are real for us today. Mary's last line in her song is simply this: "For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." We are living in the good of the promises God made to Abraham. So Mary's song can be our song. I'm just going to quote from that video. "In a world that doesn't make sense, he's the gold and the frankincense. Overturning tables, turning the world upside down, right side up, bringing heaven to earth with a seasonal burst of Christmas. And in case you missed this, he makes Christmas every day. No, not in the shops or on the telly or the jingle jangle of songs and sleighs and snow. No, in the stomachs of the hungry, in the arms of the lonely, in the hearts of the broken, Christ can be found. Knocking on doors, kicking on walls of a mother's womb, asking us to make room for a kingdom to be born in us and through us." So we need to see for ourselves what Christmas means. Don't disqualify ourselves ever. Christmas is the great leveler. It's the thing that opens up the doors, the opportunity that Jesus says, "I am coming. I am coming to you." Regardless, he isn't invited. He doesn't come according to our timetable. He doesn't come according to our agenda. He comes according to his will and to his purpose. And so as we see for ourselves what it means for Christ to be born among us, our hearts sing with what that means for us, but it also wakes us up to what we are about, that this Christmas, our purpose, our task, whether as individuals or as a church, is to bring Christ to birth again in our communities and in our world. Give birth to the kingdom, to the reality of God in our world. So we're not just celebrating Christmas or telling the story of Christmas, but we're agents of Christmas. We're people who have seen that God has drawn close, and we know that actually he draws close to anybody who will see him. Bringing Christ to birth in the heart of our neighborhood. Don't shut him away, but see him live in our communities. He makes Christmas every day. In the stomachs of the hungry, in the arms of the lonely, in the hearts of the broken, Christ can be found. Knocking on doors, kicking on walls of a mother's womb, asking us to make room for a kingdom to be born in us and through us. That's the reality of Christmas. Applicable in any and every situation. Applicable in every tragic situation. Applicable in every lost situation. Applicable in every situation where people think, actually, I've made a mess of it. And yet Jesus comes. Not only to us, but to all who will see him. So we can find Jesus today in the midst of everything we have going on and be part of seeing him brought to birth in our families, in our workplaces, and in our neighborhoods. That's good news. Good news of Christmas. Good news of great joy for all the earth. A Savior is born. I don't know where you stand today, whether you've never ever considered it, whether Jesus has been locked up in the stories of the past, in the stories of tradition. But maybe today might be a day like Mary had, where your eyes open and your heart is ready to see and to accept that actually Jesus is not just this huge figure that people all around the world worship, but he's your Savior. He's one who draws close to you. He's Emmanuel, God with you. In the midst, and everything that you think of and everything that you come up with that says, actually, not me, I don't qualify, I'm not good enough. Everything that you come up with, every barrier that you put in place, he sweeps away and says, actually, I'm coming. There is no gap. There is no distance. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.